A Pakistani woman named Afia Siddiqui is set to face charges in a federal court in New York. Her case is extraordinary. Siddiqui is accused of attempted murder and assault. It's the details that are so unusual. Police in Afghanistan stopped Afia Siddiqui last month. Prosecutors say that the next day she tried to kill U.S. agents and military officers during an interrogation. Siddiqui's lawyer calls the charges a tall story. Josh Meyer has been following the Siddiqui case and reports on it in today's L.A. Times. Now, Josh, these charges are really the latest chapter in a long and confusing story of Afia Siddiqui. Let's talk about that story first and then get to the charges. What do we know really about who this person Afia Siddiqui is?
Well, that's a good way of putting it. I think that there's a lot of smoke and mirrors here with this woman, but you know, what John Ashcroft in 2004 held a news conference to say that there was an imminent al-Qaeda attack on the United States, and he singled out seven alleged al-Qaeda operatives as being very, very dangerous and intent on, quote, hitting us hard, meaning the United States. And one of them was Afia Siddiqui, who is a Pakistani woman. We know she's got three kids. We know that the authorities believe she married one of the top lieutenants and a cousin of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the 9/11 mastermind. But what she's done or didn't do for al-Qaeda remains to be seen. So her lawyer wants to see the proof and says she's going to demand it from the authorities.
And the family's lawyer says that the charges are a tall story. What have they said specifically to support the tall tale claim?
The lawyer for the family and for Ms. Siddiqui claims that the authorities are portraying her as a terrorist when she's not. She says she's an innocent mother of three who is a student, well-trained biologist and neuroscientist in Boston who, at the time that the government alleged she was in Liberia buying conflict diamonds to support al-Qaeda, for instance, that she was home in charge of daycare for several small children, including hers. So there's a lot of disparities in the story.
So let's bring the story up to date now to this hearing. We are told that Siddiqui was detained in Ghazni, Afghanistan on July 17th. What happened exactly during that detention?
Well, the authorities brought her to a holding area in Ghazni, and according to the FBI affidavit and the sealed complaint that were disclosed last night, the authorities brought her into a room, kept her behind a curtain unrestrained, and then two FBI agents, two Army military people, and a translator went into the same room, not knowing that she was behind the curtain. One guy puts down an M4 rifle, which is a very, very powerful automatic rifle, and that she allegedly grabbed it and started shooting. And in return, the translator lunged for her, and one of the military officers started shooting, hitting her twice, I believe, in the torso. And she fought and kicked and screamed, according to the court documents made public by the government, and basically was threatening the U.S. government and the agents in the room.
Do you think it's significant that the charges against Ms. Siddiqui are firing a rifle at U.S. military and FBI agents and not a charge related to her involvement with al-Qaeda?
You know, I don't. And I've spoken to her lawyer about that, and her lawyer believes that that's a very telling anecdote. I don't think it's the case. I think there's been many instances where the government charges what they have on somebody and then goes back and tries to firm up the case or expand the case or, you know, do a superseding indictment and so forth. I think in this case that there's are efforts being made to see what else they can come up with in terms of proof against her. But you'll notice that when the FBI put out a wanted bulletin for her a few years ago, they just said she was wanted for questioning, and they did not say that she was being charged with anything.
Right, and she'd been missing for 5 years. Some family members say she was detained by the U.S. and on a black site somewhere. How does the U.S. respond to this, that she was just on a wanted list and has been at large?
They're not responding to some of the allegations, but they're specifically saying that she was never in U.S. custody. But, you know, I think a lot of the family members believe that she disappeared somehow into Pakistani custody and that the U.S. government might have had some access to her there.
I mean, with all these different kind of conflicting stories, it sounds kind of like a case of the U.S. says, Siddiqui says. What do you think is next in this case?
Well, I'm very, very interested in finding out more information about this, wherever the facts lead us, and finding out what kind of evidence the government has against her. Her lawyer did say that Ms. Siddiqui did at least have a passing acquaintance to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and that she believes that the authorities wanted to question her about who she knew and what those people might be up to, as opposed to what acts Siddiqui herself was involved in. So I guess we'll stay tuned.
Josh Meyer with the LA Times. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.